Documents from Edward Snowden has revealed how the United States and Britain targeted the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks after it published documents on the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. According to a report co-authored by Glenn Greenwald and published at TheIntercept.org, Britain's top spy agency secretly monitored visitors to a WikiLeaks site by collecting their IP addresses in real time. Meanwhile, the National Security Agency added WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to a, quote, man-hunting target list alongside al-Qaeda suspects. The leaked documents also show the United States urged its allies to file criminal charges against Assange over the Afghan war logs. We'll be joined by Julian Assange and his attorney, Michael Ratner, after headlines. In Iraq, a series of deadly car bombings has rocked Baghdad, an area south of it today, one day after another wave of explosions killed at least 24 people. Monday's blasts in the Iraqi capital included attacks targeting Shiite mosques and the explosion of a bomb-laden minibus. Police in Thailand have launched an effort to oust demonstrators from protest sites in the capital, Bangkok. At least three
people... Business epicenter of the WTO. World trade, what? OWTC center, you know, a disaster. Business making pollution grow faster. Made a crook of the doctor and the pastor. Took the president and made of him a bastard and sells to you the rip-off rapper on your ghetto blaster. Who wants money...
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio. With the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Itself, like the media, putting war flicks on your shelf. A lot of wealth in your daily news and TV too. Papers, capers, congressmen are just escapers, it's true. Yeah, but while the refugees go, do 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 do
do do do do do. You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Every one of us will die. And every one of us who's black will be faced by our ancestors who were slaves. And the first question they're going to ask us is, what did you do with your freedom to free other black people? But they're going to ask us, did white people kill us? Because white people killed them. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have time for racial fanaticism. We are in a country that is trying to destroy us in every way possible, and we must use every weapon that we can think about, and we must create new ones. But in the interim between if your lifespan is not spent empowering yourself politically, economically, and psychologically, then don't blame white people. Because the only person guilty is you. I laid out a plan. And some would say, well, that's a digression. What are you doing to empower people like you? What are you doing to fight for them? Because I assure you, our ancestors who were slaves will ask you that as soon as they welcome you wherever you're going after you leave here.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land all say the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for the smart of the
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Subtitle of tonight is Blueprint for Accountability. So what kind of organizing has to be done right now around the issue of prisons in this country? You have a particularly interesting perspective living outside this country and also having been imprisoned here for so long.
Well, I think that what... Can you hear me? One of the things that we really have to do is we have to understand that we are living in a police state. We are seriously living under democratic fascism, where the delusion or the illusion of the vote doesn't remove the fact that to the government, every American citizen is a potential terrorist. Each one of you is a potential terrorist. You're not a potential contributor to the common weal, to the betterment of society. You're held in suspicion as a potential terrorist. Your police agencies spy on you. They go to your mosque and to your churches. They twist your words and they make you into a terrorist. So we have to challenge, in my view, the political power of the police. We have to take on community control of public safety. We have to transform the relationship between the police and the public. As it stands today, the police believe that we work for them. They work for you. So what do we have to do? I think in this city, given the history of the police, it's racism. The harassment that is business on poor communities every day. We see them every day in the streets. That we should use the ballot box, the referendum, to call for decentralization of public safety. We need to build a coalition in this city to take the power of the police and their ability to police our communities out of the hands of bureaucrats and politicians and put them in the hands of community people, in the hands of our people. The police should be servants of the people and not the people subjected to the police power. We have to challenge the political power of law enforcement. Because if we don't challenge the political power of law enforcement, any civil servant who takes the test today and gets a gun tomorrow can murder you with impunity. We have to understand that we can police ourselves better than anyone else. We have to build communities where the police live and work in our community. The police have to live and work in our community. They should be from amongst us. Then we don't have to worry about unsafe streets because his children are using those streets. We don't need a professional down at City Hall, a Bratton, who they call over to the UK to give them advice for how to control the niggas in the UK. We don't need that. We need community district policing boards, public safety in our community. Each community should determine how policing policy is carried out in their community. We need a residency clause. The police shouldn't brutalize black people in Harlem and then go live out in Long Island in a nice, safe house? The judge in the district court shouldn't pass judgment on poor, unemployed black youth and then go out to the Hamptons and live comfortably. We need accountability. That's what Chase said. Chase said, accountability. We have to hold law enforcement accountable to the people and the needs of this city. And we can do it through referendum. We can build a coalition across class lines, across gender lines. We can mobilize the vote. We can talk about getting votes back for the ex-offenders. Ex-offenders have to come forward and speak for themselves. There are 65 million people in this country with criminal convictions. Where is their voice? Where is the constituency? Where are the elected officials that represent them when they can't get a job because they have a criminal record? Brothers and sisters, in this city, we need to decentralize public safety. We need to use the ballot box and the referendum to register voters so that this becomes an issue in this campaign year. That New York City needs police that serve the community and that come from the community and that have the needs of the community at heart. Until we do that, we're going to be subjected to the terror of these SWAT teams, these people running around with guns in our community, the war on drugs that are criminalizing our generation. Until we stand down the police will continue to brutalize and dominate us. So what we need is a broad coalition in this city to decentralize public safety.
Internet radio for smarter originals.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com. and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, neo-misogynist, and neo homophobic control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths, and love and solidarity to the entire human family at this time of strife and struggle. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, and I'm here, and I almost wasn't here, but I'm here as always with my co-executive producer and studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales. What are we going to do now? Talk about Jordan Davis? Well, of course. What was supposed to be an interview ended up really turning out to be a conversation. It was in the wee hours of the evening, and we were both really fatigued, so, you know, it's probably going to come across in the audio. And yeah, so the sound quality's not that great. Lupe did what she could with it, and I do apologize to our guest. Yeah, we're going to talk about the case of Jordan Davis a little bit, being now that the Michael Dunn trial was done with, at least this one. And, you know, it is what it is, right? You shoot a bunch of people, and I just don't know. I mean, what do? You know, you get into a disagreement. So you reach over, you pull a weapon and you reach over and you shoot into a vehicle full of people. You're charged with attempted murder for the ones you did not kill, but they were indecisive on the ones that you did kill. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, dear listener, does that make any sense to you? Because it sure as hell doesn't make any sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me on, this entire thing. You know, how am I supposed to deal with this in my own mind? that, you know, white people now feel that they have a hunting license for niggas. Am I wrong? Every 28 hours. Have you read that yet? Have you read that report yet? You mean you haven't read the Malcolm X Grassroots report yet? The details? Name by name? Case by case? Every 28 hours on average? In 2013, an African was killed by either a police officer or a vigilante, right? Or just some angry white man like Michael Dunn. You know, sometimes they're in uniform, sometimes they're not in uniform. You dig what I'm saying? You know, and then for all the, you know, the talk that, you know, thug this, nigga that, right? O.J. Simpson was a nigger, Rodney King was a big nigger, you know, right? You know, Richard Sherman, nigger, right? Thug. You know, remember Furman, you know, the officer in the O.J. trial, you know, the supposed hero of the O.J. trial that was caught, you know, not just lying about his own testimony, but lying or really not being held to account. I mean, do you notice that Judge Ito Lupe did not hold Furman to account once this journalist came forth with the, you know, his confessions, basically, you know, him just running his mouth, bragging to this woman, you know, basically, I suppose, trying to impress her, right? You know, trying to impress this this female, because you know how conservatives are. You know how people are who are into you know, weapons and that sort of thing, right? Into authoritarianism. You know, whenever they're around women, man, you know, their testosterone, it just rises, right? The vinegar gets up, right? So, I suppose he wanted to impress her, you know, about his how many niggas I beat up stories, how many spics I beat up stories, right? How many flips I've beat up and kicked down a flight of stairs to the point where they were, you know, defecating and urinating on themselves, and, you know, basically telling her about the stench of all of this and how it would fill the station house, you know, when they really went on a tear, you know, I suppose during the summertime, and they really kicked ass. They played the audio of him admitting to this during the trial. This is how his testimony was basically, you know, discounted, right? Debunked, discounted, however you want to look at it. It pointed that his testimony wasn't fucking credible, right? But then he goes on Fox and he's talking about, yeah, you know, these people, right? Quote unquote, these people. You know, they will, you know, do in somebody and go eat fried chicken and watch television, right? That's what he said. That's what he said. So here you have Michael Dunn. He did this and then he drove off, you know. He didn't call for help. You know, he didn't go into the, whatever that convenience store was. You know, he didn't go in and say, hey, this is what happened. And, you know, I need assistance. So he could explain himself and say, this is what happened. No, he drove off, ordered a pizza, you know, watched television, spent the evening with his woman, took a couple of days, the long way to get home. And then that's it. You know, we're supposed to believe that this was, the way he described it. Because, see, if a black man did that, as said that, you know, for whites, for young white men who were playing, I'm going to be facetious now just to be ironic for the hell of it, you know, playing Led Zeppelin or something, you know, a white version of black music, but, you know, Led Zeppelin, okay? And, you know, for whatever reason, this particular, you know, black man of his age with a woman of her age, and, you know, reacted the same way. And instead of getting fried chicken, he got pizza. Because I don't know how many of you know, but fried chicken is really Scots-Irish. You know, it's really a white folks thing. But you know, if you don't know that, then you believe the propaganda that somehow fried chicken, red dresses, and Kool-Aid have always been something that was associated with black people, when it has not. This Scots-Irish, it comes from somebody else. And, you know, maybe we picked it up because we were working on the fields together until they decided to make them the overseers, you know. Look up Shay's Rebellion and it'll explain things. But, you know, where I'm trying to get to with this is that had the roles been reversed in terms of the black and white dichotomy that we have here in the Anglophone world, that if that had been a black man, a Spanish-speaking Native American, an English-speaking Native American, a brother from Vietnam, right? Because, well, wait a minute, Lupe. Wasn't it a cat in Vietnam that was hunting by himself, and he shot and killed some hunters because he said that they were trying to come after him and that they were making racial comments and threatening to. That was some time. You don't remember. All right, some of you might remember. It was a long time ago, but there was an Asian man. I believe he was Vietnamese, naturalized American citizen. He was out hunting. I can't remember in what state. And he said that these other hunters, these three, I think they were three men, three white men, were basically coming after him. And he was camping out there. He was doing whatever he was doing. He said that he tried to get away from them, and then he realized that he had to defend himself. So, you know, they sent him to the joint. Because I believe he clipped a couple of them, and they sent him to the joint. I don't even believe they listened or even cared to listen to his story. And I don't know politically how the Vietnamese community operates in the United States, but there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about what happened to him. Matter of fact, I don't think there was any discussion in the Asian community, at least, you know, the Asian political media that I was privy to at the time. I didn't see anything about it. You know, individual Asian people told me that they had heard about the case because of the mainstream press, because it was reported. But I can remember only seeing three stories. And this was a long time ago. I mean, if anyone does get the information for that, you know, I would really like to hear it. Yeah, you can drop us a line here at Aboriginal Radio. That's radio with a Y at gmx.se. Aboriginal Radio at gmx.se. I mean, if you have any information on that at all, you know, please let us know, because, you know, I would really, really like to know what happened with that. If he is still incarcerated, if I remember correctly, Lou, he didn't have any family. Yeah, so there was really nobody to speak up for him. And like I said, community wise, politically, I don't know. I mean, wherever the state that he was in, if I remember correctly, there wasn't a whole lot of Asians to begin with. So I don't know. But anyway, I'm sorry, everybody, but you get my point. You get my point here. I mean, Marissa Alexander. I mean, she was black, and she was defending herself against a black man, and she didn't even harm anybody. They hit her with 20 years. They hit her with 2 decades, man, for defending. I mean, come on, Cece McDonald, who has been released, by the way. And congratulations to her, you know, for at least getting, you know, out, right? You know, whole, sane. And, you know, to her supporters, you know, my appreciation to you for sticking up for her. Because I've said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. The African community did not really come out for Cece McDonald. Matter of fact, I go as far as to say that nobody came out for Cece McDonald. There were no preachers and ministers that I'm aware of that made any real stance. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for the white GBLT, you know, political lobbies that exist here, groups, especially those that deal with changed gendered issues. If it wasn't for them, nobody would even know who Cece McDonald was. No one would know who Cece McDonald is. And I hate to say this, you know, I mean, yeah, we know that right now this is a very confusing time. I'm not making any bones about it. And it's not a matter of, you know, who does what and what. It's just all of these goddamn labels. You know, for people who say that they don't want to be labeled and categorized, that's all you're doing now is labeling and categorizing yourself. Because you're trying to cope with a system that's stupid. You know, I mean, Europeans brought this chaos here. You know, we didn't have this nonsense in indigenous America. You know, no indigenous group had this craziness, really. I mean, for the most part, everybody knows you got one life, man. Live it. Do what the hell you want to do. There's a place for you here. We'll make a place for you here, right? You know, it's like, I mean, you bend where you need to, but, you know, it's like, come on, man. You know, this thing that was a Facebook, Lupe, your husband and I were talking, they added all of these new orientations in terms of how people can describe themselves. I mean, I understand that, but, you know, it's really getting confusing. And for younger people who are just trying to figure out what's going on, they're really being, you know, bombarded with a lot of information right now that has to be utterly fucking confusing. I mean, at my age, I'm goddamn confused. So I can imagine, you know, somebody younger not really understanding what the hell is going on, what these terms mean, and being, and then, you know, trying to reason with that against the negative. You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, people who are just against it on you know, principle, whatever principle that might be. I'm talking about people who are just goddamn negative because they're freaked out by it and they don't know how else to deal with things but to react. You know, I mean, look, there's certain things that freak me out, too. You know, when I see a man with a beard wearing a dress and makeup and heels, you know, carrying a purse, you know, it's shocking. I mean, because it's not normal. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. It's not what people normally do. You know, there are certain gender roles to go with certain things, you know, in this particular society. And we were dealing with the Anglophone world, right? And, you know, to see that is, it throws me off. Sorry. You know, if you think I'm a bigot because of that, you're being ridiculous. It's strange. Now, does that mean that because I find it strange that, you know, there's somehow lessens the humanity of somebody else? No. But see, here's what folks have to understand if you're really going to accept being different. If you're really going to accept being different, you know, you have to really look at what you're at. No, who are you really, first off? And then second, you know, where the hell are you living? And I know we're going on a tangent, but I'm going to come back to Jordan Davis. Yeah, and stick around because we're going to have France Fanon expert brother Malachi Daniels on again. And we're going to really talk about the Jordan Davis discussion at length. Let me give you a heads up about that. We were really fatigued, the both of us. And it was done in the wee hours of the evening. So, you know, it's not... It was supposed to be an interview, and it really just came across as a conversation between the two of us. And, you know, Lupe did what she could to deal with the audio. But basically, you know, we're going to talk about Jordan Davis, you know, in detail a little later. But what I'm trying to get to is now is how people within societies deal with being in societies. And what I mean by that is you don't live by yourself. You know, there are points where you're going to simply have to, for group survival, you're going to have to cop on and follow the lead of whatever the hell is going on. Because that's just the way we've survived as human groups over the centuries and decades and, you know, the millennia, you know, whatever the hell. You know, I know for those of you who are into that Anunnaki thing, I'm not interested. All right. I'm just not. So, you know, moving on. In terms of, and I know, you know, some black folks have been telling me they're really tired of hearing about the gay stuff. But see, you can't not talk about it, you know, especially when we're dealing with African people, because not having this discussion is what is, you know, causing in many ways the further, you know, encroachment in terms of, you know, the Western powers. Again, this is the third rape of Africa, ladies and gentlemen. This is the third. You know, brothers and sisters, I told you here a long time ago, you know, you heard it here first. You know, the third rape of Africa is oncoming. You know, I told you that in the earlier years of this show. And you know, here it is. I've been proven correct again. This is the third rape of Africa. And for those of you who don't want to talk about homophobia and how it relates to politics, and you're getting caught up into, you know, just like we see the argument right now on feminism. Is feminism white or is it just feminism? Well, it's the same thing with homophobia and dealing with, you know, marriage equality and what have you. I mean, you have to ask yourself, you know, a real question. Are you, you know, simply trying to live your life, or are you trying to be a Stepford gay? You know, which is it? You know, really, which is it? You know, I have never had a problem with people being, why should anybody give a damn? But yeah, you know, if you're a brother, Or even if you're Asian, Native, what have you, and you know you're trying to act like you know, Jack from Will and Grace or something, and you come out of Harlem, or you come out of Northside Philly, you know what I'm saying? Or you come out of fucking, you know, deep nigga Miami, and then you know you're just, no man, I'm sorry, no. See, I have a hard time accepting that. Because like I said, I grew up with gay people and none of them acted that way. They were black gay men. I mean, did you see James Baldwin act like that? Come on. I mean, you can't get any more goddamn out than him. You know, Essex Hemphill. Marlon Riggs. The filmmaker. The late Marlon Riggs. And for that matter, the late Essex Hemphill. Black poet who happened to be gay. I mean, Audre Lorde. I mean, how did she... Audre Lorde talked about this. Audre Lorde talked about this. And see, you hear white feminists talk about Audre Lorde all goddamn day long, but when she talked about race, I mean, really talked about race and talking about, you know, blaming the white lesbians who did not stand up for her during the 50s and 60s and so on when she was running around, you know, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to hear that discussion. You know, I mean, every, you know, politicized white gay person I know, except for a handful, when it comes to the issue of racism in the white gay, you know, community, right? They don't want to discuss it. They don't want to discuss it. They're not interested in it. And if you bring up something about racism, colonialism, imperialism, what have you, right? Gender bias in terms, you know, as it applies to, you know, to fetish, like, you know, in terms of Asian women, in terms of, you know, African women, right? In terms of Latinas. You know, in terms of penis, don't even get me started about penis. I mean, anything that you put in any search engine, I don't give a damn which one you use. And you put in Filipina, Filipino women, right? Philippines even, sometimes. That's all you have to put in. And all you get are dating sites and pornography and what have you, right? Chinese women. You know, I mean, I've written about this. I've written about this. But, you know, we're not really going to discuss this. We're not really going to discuss this. And see, it's really difficult for me. And how does this roll back to the gay thing? Well, like I said, you know, we have to understand something about coming out, right? For lack of a better term. Ellen Page, that's her name, right? Ellen Page, the Canadian actor, or she's from Canada, whatever it is. She came out recently, and that's cool. You know, I mean, I'm sure she's going to help a lot of people her age, a lot of young women. I'm sure look up to her from her films. But, you know, why should anyone have to make a, you know, an announcement like that about their sexuality? You know, what kind of world are we in that you need to make a statement about, you know, you know, who you like to have sex with on a regular? And the reason I'm saying that is, you know, there are various studies. I mean, many studies. Ask anybody, you know, basically, you know, bisexuality is much more, you know, common, much more fluid in people than, you know, folks want to admit. Yeah, Ann Northrup, I understand she came out as a bisexual later herself after identifying as a lesbian for many years. I don't really know. And really is none of my business. But she did make a statement one time on a televised interview or a televised show where she mentioned that, you know, I can't remember which study, but it's the classic study that everybody hates. You know, 10% of the American population is definitively, you know, homosexual. Well, I believe that. At least 10. At least 10. I'm talking about committed, stoned, I'm, you know, homosexual, I only like people of my own gender, I'm not interested in anything else. 10%. Sure. Well, see, she said something else that really freaked a lot of people out in the audience. Yeah, and I understood where she was coming from. Well, it just really unnerved a lot of folks. When she said, well, and another 10% are definitively heterosexual, meaning they never stray from opposite gender sexual relations. So what does that mean? You got an 80% in the middle there, right? And please, don't try to tell me that I'm exaggerating or that, you know, I'm on some agenda. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's just I've been around long enough and have seen enough. And, you know, the majority of the cats I know that are faggot this and faggot that are dealing with a problem that's, you know, driving them crazy. And they really need to stop fucking with the hangers and come outside. But, you know, it's really hard to do in some cases. And in the black community, it's damn near impossible, you know, depending on your circumstances for where you are, how lucky you are, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play, really. And you know, and a lot of white activists will give, you know, one or two of these angles, and then they'll drop the rest because they have no direct experience. And it doesn't really relate to them to know that, say, somebody in a public housing that's depressed with this crack all over the place and, you know, heavy prostitution and what have you, that there might be, you know, gay people living in there, you know, who are trying to figure things out, or maybe they are out, but they can kind of be out because, you know, where they are is somewhat supportive, or they've carved enough of a role for themselves, they can be out there within that particular community. Outside that neighborhood, though, they're just another faggot, right? But within that community, though, they have respect. Now, you know, from the older generations that I've spoken to, that usually took cutting somebody or something to the like. But, you know, I'm not, you know, keen on that kind of thing. But the street is the street, man. And, you know, sometimes you have to earn your respect. So, you know, a lot of people have this really stupid misconception that gay men and women are soft and weak and so on. You know, I've known many a gay man to send many a straight motherfucker to the hospital, man. And there are plenty of lesbians that have can attest to the same knockout prowess as anybody else out there. So, let's deal with brass tacks. People are going to do what the fuck they're going to do regardless. Now, how I started off with this and how this relates to the Jordan Davis case or the Michael Dunn result, really, what we really are talking about here is the result of the trial, not actually what happened, because what happened happens every 28 hours. This happens all the time. This is the new normal. But I'm talking about how this thing was allowed to happen. You see, one of the things that a lot of gay people who follow the mainstream, Europocentric, politicized American view in a goddamn way, well, American British Anglophone view, all right? Of the gay rights thing is that if I get into the military and if I can get marriage and I can get fined and billed just like everybody else, then hey, I'm doing the American thing. You have to accept me, right? So we're finding out that, you know, gay folks are doing all of this, and they're still not accepted. Now they might have power, but you know, political power. Social power, I question that, you know, because if you're not safe being gay, right? I mean, over in Seattle, in Washington State, the gay people I know here in Portlandia, they tell me that it's dangerous now to walk in what used to be the gayest neighborhood in Seattle. And there's been occasional things here in PDX in terms of homophobic assault and so on, and people cannot be, you know, particularly cool. Right, you know, and what's worse is that there's a lot of young people who are really violent against gay folks. And if you ask them, really belligerent against gay people. And if you ask them why, they can't even tell you. You know, and when they do, it's usually because they regurgitated something that they heard from somebody else. Which, for those who are, you know, watching Fox and whatever, they're believing this nonsense that they hear. Or Brian Fisher, they're believing this. They're believing this. Right. So, you know, with the gay lobby, in my opinion, you know, and this is just my opinion, you know, if they were politically more cognizant in terms of paying attention, you know, to, you know, dealing with the fact that, look, if you're raised by, you know, heterosexual Christians, like most gay people are in the United States, in Canada, right? I mean, what's going to happen? They're going to freak out when you tell them, because this isn't exactly how they figured, you know, you know, life for you and their life as your parents, you know, was going to work out, you know, grandchildren and that sort of thing. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of that is down the drain, and it's, you know, it hurts a lot of people, and, you know, you have to accept that. Now, yes, they should be able to deal with it and still love you regardless. But I'm just saying to you, you know, that's one of the things you're just going to have to deal with. Friends and family, you may not have those friends and family, right? And you're making, you know, these arguments to come out. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of change going on. There's a lot of change going on. And for people like Michael Dunn, you know, when they see, you know, gay folks come out, you know, they don't know how to deal with it. Now, understanding that there are people who are going to be flipped out and nervous and afraid and, you know, potentially, you know, possibly belligerent,
you know, because they're seeing these changes and so on, and people are making these demands for society to change.
Right. Because look at what's happening in Africa. They're killing gay people in Africa. It was witches. The church over here, the white evangelicals, were in Africa telling them to go after the witches, to go after the pagan people, those who practice Vodun, all of the traditional beliefs. Then they turned it and said, go after the gay people, which was a natural progression since in the majority of indigenous belief systems, many of the priests and priestesses, at least in Vodun, many of them are homosexual or transgender. They're different, quote unquote, right? That's what the whole queer thing, you know, philosophically is supposed to be about, right? You know, I still see it as an insult, but I understand the argument. Well, I mean, you know, there's no discussion about that in the white gay community about what's happening in Africa, is there? But we will hear about somebody here who's trying to come out to mother, father, what have you. I understand that. But see, we're paying no real attention, though, to the Dunn trial, are we? And for one reason, with the Dunn trial, right, to many people, Dunn was simply trying to reinforce and defend what is supposed to be white about America. Because white makes white. Right? Might makes right here in North America. So there's a lot of folks who simply do not have a problem. They may not come out and say it, but they simply do not have a particular problem with what Dunn did. And they're probably even embarrassed by the verdict, even though the majority of people out here seem to support it. So how is this, you know, directly connected? It's not directly connected. But it's kind of connected when you look at a case like CeCe McDonald, where she wasn't supported at all. And, you know, really, also, neither was this brother. I mean, Trayvon Martin happened, and if people politically got off their goddamn asses and stopped worrying about what Jay-Z and Beyonce were doing in Cuba, which we really should be asking what they really were doing in Cuba, but see, we're not asking that question. You know, that's another one we're not asking. But, you know, everybody's caught up in the star thing. You know, we really need to be asking ourselves what the fuck is really going on. And we're not asking. We're not asking anything. You know, I mean, I support the mainstream, you know, gay lobby here. You know, for general, you know, on the GP. You know, but politically, we need to ask ourselves, you know, if you have black gay people that instead of, you know, trying to fight for, say, gay rights in Africa, and how that relates to colonialism. You know, when right racist religious people are going over there and telling you to eradicate your own with a foreign religion. Yeah, I know about Ethiopia, but I'm sorry. What the Christianity that these people are pushing has nothing to do with Africa, and it never did. You know, the whites came in Africa with, you know, same way they came in to the Americas, with a gun in one hand and a Bible in the other. Check your James Baldwin on that, Mr. Charlie's Blues. You know, and like I said, he was a gay man. But you do think that he would not be talking? That he would not have anything to say about Jordan Davis? I don't hear the black gay community saying anything. I hear the black gay community trying to move into the Stepford neighborhood. The Stepford community. They're not trying to build their own community, really. You know, it's like I was getting into a disagreement with another brother about Afropunk. I'm sorry. Whatever you guys are calling Afropunk, I was doing that before there was a term for it. And really, when you get to saying Afropunk, you're really talking about the mainstreaming of everything. And it's gone mainstream. So I'm sorry. It's gone mainstream. It's gone extremely goddamn mainstream. You know, but then again, punk was white to begin with. So putting Afro and a hyphen in front of it really doesn't make it anything, you know, it doesn't make it anything different. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to confuse or diss anybody, even though what I just said probably sounds confusing, you know, because I tend to go on tangents. And, hey, I apologize for that, but roll with me. I'm asking, where are we looking at politically in terms of paradigms? Which is more important? If we had jumped up as a community, unified, when Trayvon Martin was executed, Jordan Davis might not have happened. it might not have happened. I'm saying human rights now are really being funneled into, you know, a very narrow box. And right now, the mainstream political system, at least the Democrats anyway, they need gay people to serve in the military. They're not going to do a draft. You know, I mean, they should, but they're not going to do a draft, right? So, you know, I mean, send everybody if that's going to be the case. But they're not going to do that. They're going to privatize this. But they still need gay people to be part of the system in terms of body. So, you know, they're behind you in terms of that, and they're behind you because they need your votes. After that, they don't give a damn about you. They don't care about you in the slightest. In the slightest. And, you know, the gay community, the African community, everybody needs to wake up because we're all being screwed. No matter how you cut this cake, you know, we're all being served up on a platter. This is the Angry Indian. Please stay tuned. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Don't forget to lie.
You're listening to Aboriginal Press News Service Public Radio. Indigenous talk radio for Celtic Scotland and other people living in the fourth world.
In America, black people are treated very much as the Vietnamese people or any other colonized people, because we're used, we're brutalized. The police in our community occupy our area, our community, as a foreign troop occupies territory. And the police are there not to, in our community, not to promote our welfare or for our security and our safety, but they're there to contain us, to brutalize us and murder us, because they have their orders to do so. And just as the soldiers in Vietnam have their orders to destroy the Vietnamese people, the police in our community couldn't possibly be there to protect our property, because we own no property. They couldn't possibly be there to see that we receive the due process of law, for the simple reason that the police themselves deny us the due process of law. And so it's very apparent that the police are only in our community, not for our security, but the security of the business owners in the community, and also to see that the status quo is kept intact. We feel that the white students should relate and pay more attention to the colonized situation here of the blacks first, because after all, this is home. And they should. This is not to say that they shouldn't denounce America's treacherous actions abroad. I think they can be done at the same time. That it's just a matter of placing emphasis upon the criminal activities of America here in the homeland.
This is Radio Anguindian. Anguindian Radio for the Fourth World.
Idle No More calls all people
to join in peaceful revolution,
to honor indigenous sovereignty,
and protect the land and water
for generations to come.
Mexicans, South Americans, all indigenous people, get inspired,
take action,
and become a part of the solution.
It's my future,
your future,
our future.
We are the protectors of Mother Earth.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up
and protect our Earth.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
And become a part of this incredible movement.
The time has come.
Idle no more.
Idle no more.
Idle no more.
Become idle no more.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 99.7 en FM.
I'm Carol Gordon. Inform yourself about Plan B emergency contraception. Information can be the best protection, especially dealing with a sexual assault or unprotected sex. If you are 17 or older, you do not need a prescription to receive Plan B. All Indian Health Service facilities should carry Plan B, but most don't. This is a violation of your reproductive rights. Call your local Indian Health Service unit and ask for Plan B. It is our right as Native women to receive Plan B. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
This is Tim Robbins. Recently in Washington, both Democrats and Republicans in high levels of government, the military, and intelligence have risked their careers, their livelihoods, and in some cases their safety to bring information to light to expose the lies, duplicity, and potential crimes of the Bush administration. These patriotic Americans are trying to tell us something. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member for an official investigation into the Bush administration.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African-American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck. It's What's for Demagogue.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio. A nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Star.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com.